You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We've got a Major League doubleheader for you on the ESPN app and on ESPN TV today. Diamondbacks Padres at Petco 4 Eastern. Then Mets, Red Sox at Fenway, the first game of a home-and-home series. That's coming your way today on ESPN and the ESPN app. And speaking of baseball, here's a great moment. Carlos Carrasco picked up the win yesterday in his first start since being diagnosed with leukemia last year. He struck out 10 over 6-plus. Cleveland beat Kansas City 9-2. He had worked his way back into the bullpen last September after being diagnosed with leukemia early in June of 2019. It's wonderful to see him there. And we begin another hour here of Get Up. It is 9 o'clock in the morning in the East with you for the next hour. First Take comes your way after that. It is a very busy Monday from Bristol, Connecticut. I'm Mike Greenberg, and let's get up right now with major news from the Major League. One team already having its season threatened by coronavirus concerns. We've got you covered with our insider right off the top. Then a huge trade in the NFL. Did it send Seattle to the Super Bowl? Did it send me into a glass case of emotion? We're talking about it. And then, Lou Will, what are you doing? Wait till you hear what this star was doing outside the NBA bubble. You will in this hour as we get up with you starting right now. And it begins with this developing story. 4 Miami Marlins players have tested positive for the coronavirus, including pitcher Jose Urena, who was supposed to start yesterday in Philadelphia. The Marlins have delayed their trip home from Philly amid concerns about a possible outbreak. They're supposed to play at home tonight. Here's their manager, Don Mattingly.
Fair to say that guys are concerned, right, about things, and that they want their feelings as part of how they're feeling about it, situations, to be heard. And I think it's fair. We're talking about health. We're talking about these guys traveling back to their homes and their families and their kids, and it's the reason we want to be safe.
Again, they spent the night in Philadelphia yesterday. They're supposed to play in Miami tonight. Our insider Jeff Passan has been working the story like crazy all morning long. Jeff, what is the latest?
Yeah, Greeny, I'm getting all kinds of texts right now. My apologies, because this Marlins situation is very fluid and not fluid in a good way. With the outbreak of 4 cases, 4 known cases at this point in the clubhouse, there's a chance that their flight could be canceled today, that they may not make it down to their home opener. I've been told by sources that they are getting tested again, players, this morning. And to determine the true extent of this outbreak and just how many people inside of the Marlins clubhouse have it, this is going to be a test, not just for the organization, but for Major League Baseball to figure out how much it can withstand and how willing it is to continue if the outbreak is indeed larger than 4 people.
No, listen, Jeff, I did a bunch of radio shows last week, and the day that the baseball season started, and every single person I talked to asked me the same question. How is Major League Baseball going to be able to conduct a season when they have teams traveling around? They're not in a bubble like the NBA is. These guys are living in their own homes, in their own communities, but the Marlins are in Florida, where we all know what the numbers have been there. And we wondered. It brings me back to the questions that we raised about the bubble cities when all this began. Remind everyone, when the conversations about the possibility of the baseball season being in bubble cities, as they've done in the NBA, first came up, how did that go away in baseball?
You know, Greeny, very early on in the process, Major League Baseball was talking with officials from the federal government about the possibility of holding a bubble city in Arizona in the greater Phoenix area. And we know the outbreak that has happened there since then. But at the time, it seemed like a reasonable and viable idea. I wrote a story about this. And when that story was written, the reaction from the players was clear. No way. We want no business with spending 5 months in Phoenix, potentially separated from our families, with no guarantee that this is going to work. But the consequence of that is that they are traveling now. And the consequence of traveling, Greeny, is the number of points of contact that players have with flight attendants, with hotel workers, with people throughout the stadium. I mean, everywhere. It just adds up and makes it that much more of a difficult situation to ensure that everybody can stay healthy.
Exactly. The only fear is that you hope it's not just difficult, but it's not impossible. At this point, wouldn't have been anywhere near 5 months anymore. That's all water under the bridge. I know you're working the story like crazy. We will come back to you immediately if you get any further information. Again, the Marlins have a game in Miami tonight. They are currently in Philadelphia. Now let's get back to the NFL on the enormous trade from the weekend. According to our Adam Schefter, Jamal Adams is flying to Seattle today to undergo his physical after being traded from the Jets for a package that includes safety Bradley McDougal and two first-round picks. Since he was drafted in 2017 out of LSU, Adams has basically done it all on the defense. He's considered a safety, but he's actually had more snaps at linebacker and D-line combined. And just to show his versatility, he has over 500 snaps at corner as well. So this is a guy who has done everything. We've been talking about it this morning, and the collection of people I've put together to try and make me feel a little better about it this morning includes Booger McFarland, Jeff Saturday, and Diana Russini. There's been a lot of argument here, and that's because I am in no mood to try and tamp it down. Diana, we'll start with you. Let's hear again. What is it you heard from people around the league about their reaction to this deal after it was done?
Well, there's no question. Jamal Adams has the respect from many coaches, GMs, even players I talk to. Everyone can pretty much agree he's a top three best defensive player in this league right now. Jamal Adams has done a great job, and he's done a great job in that Greg Williams scheme. I know we're going to be talking about blitzes. I'm sure Jeff is going to point to that, and Booger will as well, that he is a Swiss Army knife. But in terms of the actual trade and what the Jets were able to get from Seattle here, I had GMs tell me that they feel like they got fleeced here. So in terms of the value here, it's very clear that this team is trying to rebuild the Legion of Boom, as well as having this attitude, we must win now. We're going to talk about the age of Russell Wilson at 32 years old, and we'll say he's getting older. But we're seeing now that quarterbacks are playing later into their age. But that being said, he's still not as young as he was when he was in his 20s, and he's still not getting that same protection. So in terms of the actual deal, is this the piece that makes them the leaders in the NFC? The sense I'm getting around the league that this is not enough for Seattle to win that division.
All right, Jeff, I feel like all morning long I've had to cut you off as you were trying to make points. So I'm going to give you the floor here. As we've sat here and discussed this morning, we look at this, Jamal Adams to the Seahawks, two number ones to the Jets, plus a pretty good player at the position.
Yes.
You take this wherever you want to go. You've got the floor. What is your number one thought on this deal this weekend right now?
Yeah, Jets win the trade. I mean, the bottom line is you had a player who didn't want to be in New York. He had talked about the organization. They had lost trust. He didn't like Gase, didn't feel like his leadership was going to take him where he wanted to go. Regardless of how good this player is, if he's that unhappy in New York and you know it's going to be a distraction in your locker room, and then to go get what you got. I mean, the bottom line is two first-round picks and a good player, by the way. Another good safety who's going to come over and be in your system. Greg Williams knows how to get the most out of his players. He'll be just fine in that system. In my opinion, does Jamal Adams take the Seahawks and push them to Super Bowl contender? One player does not do it for me. I think they have a lot of things they need to address. And we talked about Russell Wilson's age earlier in the show, but the bottom line is it's not just that he's 32. It's the physical toll that he takes on his body. Most of the damage done for him is in the fourth quarter, right? And he's a hero. I mean, the guy is literally a superhero when you watch him play. But ultimately, do I think Jamal Adams pushes this team to be a Super Bowl contender in the NFC right now? I do not think it does. So if you're the Jets and you're the fans now, what they do with those picks, I have no idea. But I can tell you, if I'm a Jets fan, I'm sitting happy understanding Jamal didn't want to be in New York anymore. There's not a whole lot you can do about it. That was not a relationship you could salvage. He's moved on. You're going to make the most out of your draft picks and a good player as well. Go make it happen. I think everybody's happy, but ultimately I don't think Seattle is the Super Bowl contender that you would want if you're going to give this much away for one player.
Booger, if indeed there is a winner and a loser in every trade, who's the winner in this one in your mind?
Well, Greeny, right now, I would say the winner is the Seattle Seahawks just because we don't know what those picks are going to be for the Jets. If you look at the last 5 years, the Seattle Seahawks have averaged picking right around 23. And so we won't know until those players are picked. Greeny, a long, long time ago, I was traded. Okay, the Indianapolis Colts sent a second-round pick to Tampa for me. And everybody say, man, they gave up a second round pick for a nose tackle. You know who the Buccaneers pick? Sabby Piscatelli. Do you know who that is? Neither do I. So I got to think that the Indianapolis Colts won that trade because my friend and I, Jeff Saturday, we won a Super Bowl that same year.
Yes, sir.
So who won the trade? We won't know until the Jets make those picks, Greeny. And here's the thing that I'll say is that I'm getting a proven commodity today. I'm getting a guy that's been a two-time All-Pro in his first 3 years. I understand what those picks could be, but Greeny, I know what Jamal Adams is right now. And I'm a guy, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush because I don't know what those two in the bush are going to be. So long-winded answer, Greeny, we won't know who really won the trade until Joe Douglas makes those two picks for the New York Jets.
That's right. And it is unfair to lay on Joe Douglas how terribly the Jets have done with their first-round picks over the last 6 or 7 years because he didn't make any of them. But it's just been horrendous. Cindy, I don't know if we still have that full screen, but I can tell you right now that over a five-year stretch from 2013 to 2017, the Jets had 6 first-round picks. They traded 5 of them and cut the other one before any of them got to a second contract. So, Diana, how do people around the sport view that right now? Is the people you talk to, maybe the Jets fleeced Seattle in this deal. But to a Jet fan, hearing we got 2 number ones doesn't necessarily mean what it might for a lot of other people.
Yeah, they're starting over, essentially. This is going to be another year where we basically just have to sit here and wait to see if Sam Darnold can develop because they're still building. And we know that Douglas was brought in here to do that. But again, Greeny, you know more better than anybody in terms of how the Jets are viewed. And they don't really move the needle in terms of a threat. You know, this is a division that just lost Tom Brady. This was an opportunity for the Jets to maybe take a chance. I know many of us have the Bills winning this division this year if the Patriots don't do it again. But the Jets could actually do something with this knowing that Brady's not in the division anymore. But at this point, this is still building up. And I wish I could give you something to make you feel better. I know you tried iced coffee for the first time this weekend. but just go back to the hot coffee, and I think maybe the Jets will improve.
All right, that's a conversation that we'll have another time. Meanwhile, we got a bunch of things happening all at once. Let's start by putting the poll question up here. Today's poll question involves the Seahawks, the other side of this trade. And the question, now that they have Jamal Adams, which is your pick to make the NFC representative for the Super Bowl? Seahawks, Niners, Buccaneers, and Saints. Go to my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny, and cast your vote. Meanwhile, as we continue, bold prediction on Tom Brady, or from Tom Brady, in Tampa. Something he hasn't done in 19 years is going to get you fired up. Then we're going to get to Major League Baseball, and in addition to one player not liking a new rule, I'm being told Jeff Passan has significant breaking news on the situation with the Marlins. Don't miss that. Next, Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and we have breaking news. We've been telling you this morning that 4 Miami Marlins players had tested positive for the coronavirus and that the team had not yet traveled as of this morning from Philadelphia to Miami, where they're scheduled to play tonight. Jessica Mendoza was scheduled to join us right here anyway. The timing of that works out well, as our insider Jeff Passan has further breaking news. Jeff, what can you tell us?
Yeah, Greeny, the number of positive cases among Miami Marlins players is now up to 12. 2 coaches, sources have told me, and Jesse Rogers are also positive for COVID-19. This is the sort of outbreak that baseball was afraid of. And what happens now is anyone's best guess. Their game, their home opener against the Baltimore Orioles, has been canceled. And the further fallout today and in the coming days is going to be awfully interesting to see really the viability of the 2020 Major League Baseball season and how baseball, or if baseball, continues to be played.
It is not overstating it to say just that, right? That the season, less than a week in, hangs in the balance as one of the teams has been significantly compromised. If we know of at least 12 players, you're talking about 40% of the roster, and we're not even a week in. And again, is it overstating it to say the season is hanging in the balance as to how they handle this from here forward?
Greeny, I think the motivation in Major League Baseball for games to be played is great. I think it is significant. I also think it's being tested right now by this outbreak, and how MLB and Rob Manfred responds to this is going to be awfully interesting to see, because it's going to show the lengths to which they are willing to go to put a season on. That is not in the operations manual. They have 113 pages worth of protocols in place to get a season played. Nowhere in there does it explicitly say what they do in the case of an outbreak of this extent. And so to see how they handle it, not just today, but going forward, is really, I think, going to chart the course for the season and to let the world know this is how far Major League Baseball is willing to go to get a season played.
Again, it may not be in the operations manner, but there's no way this is taking people by surprise. This obviously was always a possibility. So they have to have had some idea what they're going to do. Again, in case you didn't catch it in what Jeff said, they had a game tonight scheduled, their home opener against Baltimore in Miami. That game has been canceled. Jess Mendoza, again, we were planning on talking about a lot of other things with you. None of them seem important right now. What is your reaction to this?
This is scary, period. I mean, this is something that, yes, expected. I mean, something that you knew there was going to be the unexpected coming into this season. But the fact, so quickly, we see the amount of positive tests. Just yesterday, we were talking about a few. Now it's up to 12. I mean, this should elicit real fear. And I hate saying that because, of course, we want baseball. I can't tell you how giddy I've been all weekend to watch the games. But right now, as Jeff was saying, this is the number one challenge that Rob Manfred will face in his entire career as commissioner because of how bad they want to put baseball on the field. And yet you have a team that's already shown us how quickly and how serious this can get. All eyes are on him right now and what he will do next.
Now the Marlins, of course, their home games and their lives are based in Florida. And we all have seen over the last few weeks what the numbers have been relative to the coronavirus in the state of Florida. So again, this should come as no surprise. We talked months ago about the possibility of a bubble. And the NBA is all upset this morning because one player seemed to show some lack of discipline with regard to the bubble when he was not in there. With Major League Baseball, these guys are all out there living their lives. I mean, Jeff, I don't want to overstate the obvious, but it feels like this was very predictable, right? The idea that they would just be able to travel around the country and live as though a pandemic wasn't going on just does not seem reasonable. This doesn't feel like it should be that surprising to anyone.
No, it's not that surprising, Greeny. And let's not just put this on the players. It's also on the umpires. It's also on the coaches. It's also on the whole traveling party. It's also on the people who are not included on the tier one and two and three lists within the organization. Flight attendants, hotel workers, people who they are going to come into contact with on a daily basis. And that's the folly of this plan. Could it have worked? Could it continue to work? Yes, it can, but the inevitability of something like this happening was clear from the start. And I think it was clear earlier this week when on opening day, Juan Soto, the Washington Nationals' best player, tested positive for COVID-19. And I talked with somebody, a high-ranking official that day, and he said to me, just wait until a starting pitcher tests positive. And that happened yesterday with Jose Ureña with the Marlins. And I don't think we realized it at the time, but when four Marlins tested positive over the course of about 48 hours, it was just setting the stage for what we have right now, which is almost half of a team testing positive, which is an opening day being canceled, and which is the rest of the season being thrown into peril.
Jessica, what do you think happens from here? Like, I know you'll start making phone calls, all that. This is all literally happening as we speak. This is developing news that Jeff is bringing us with in just the last 5 minutes. But where do you think this goes from here? They don't play tonight. They get their testing done. And now what happens?
You know, I think that honestly, from here, it's you look at every other team and you start to really watch, you know, do the Nationals have any more positive tests? You just start to see, I was just speaking with the Mets over the weekend and their protocols and how it's constantly changing, because even though there's 113 pages, as Jeff mentioned, in the protocols, it really comes down to the teams and what these players are doing off the field, Greeny. I mean, we're watching these games, we're seeing the masks, we're seeing the social distancing, but when that red light goes off and we're not able to see what these players are doing, that's where the real questions come up. I think there need to be more rules on what they're doing away from the field, because to me, that's where the real difference is happening. That's where a lot of these players are getting this virus.
Look, it's their lives to lead, not mine. I can't sit here and tell these players that they should have gone into a bubble and separated themselves from the world as they know it otherwise for some period of time. Now, the way it worked out, they didn't start this season until the end of July. So really, we'd be looking at, what is it, Jeff, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it is. It was not the 5 months we were talking about at the beginning. But the one way to try and get through this thing would be that. And to try, as you point out, traveling around and all of that, it seems next to impossible to get this thing done. And I've tried to be optimistic about this from the day we started in all of this in March. But sometimes you have to be realistic. Jeff, I'm told you have more. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Greeny, I think it's worth noting, there's no way that they can do a bubble at this point. But the fallout from this, to me, is not just the Miami Marlins and their game against the Baltimore Orioles today. I believe the New York Yankees are due to go to Philadelphia today. Do you think the Yankees want to be in the same visiting clubhouse that the Marlins were in yesterday? Do you think the Yankees are going to be comfortable playing that game against the Phillies? It's not just that game down in Baltimore, or down in Miami at this point that's in peril, but I can't imagine a team wanting to go into a clubhouse that had that many live infections as of yesterday, and that played a game, by the way. Like, that's the part, if we look back on this, it's going to be insane to think about. The Marlins went out and played yesterday, so it's not just them. It's them. It's the Phillies. It's the Braves, whom they played earlier this week in exhibition games. I mean, there are so many different layers to this that are going to make this a complicated and confusing story as to how to handle this going forward.
Jess, let me give you a quick final word here. I just have 30 seconds. What are the final 30 seconds you'd like to share with the audience on what could potentially be a really, really bad moment for Major League Baseball?
Yeah, first off, I hope everybody is okay. You know, Jesse and I have been told there are some symptomatic cases with the Marlins at this point, and so I hope that they get healthy as soon as possible. But Major League Baseball has a big decision to make right now, and that decision is, are they going to continue the 2020 season, and what is the cost of doing so? And beyond that, just how comfortable are the people who are involved, are the people who are playing the games in doing so, and how far are they willing to go to play baseball in 2020?
I need to pronounce these things more carefully. I meant that for Jess. From now on, when the two of you are on together, Jessica Mendoza, you will exclusively be Jessica. That's my fault. It's nice we can laugh in this moment. I'm up against the bottom of the hour. I'm sorry, I have to go again. This is very, very significant baseball news today. We have two more games scheduled for you on ESPN and the ESPN app. Diamondbacks Padres today from Petco, then Mets Red Sox at Fenway. First game of a home-and-home series. It's today on ESPN and the ESPN app. We'll continue to monitor all of this for you and see what happens next with the Marlins and beyond. Meanwhile, Damian Woody is a former Jet. He'll talk about Jamal Adams and much more as we continue in a moment. Let's get up on ESPN. We're back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, significant breaking news from Major League Baseball. 8 more players and 2 coaches from the Miami Marlins have tested positive for the coronavirus. An outbreak has now spread throughout their clubhouse, bringing the total cases in recent days to at least 14. This according to reporting from our Jeff Passan and our Jesse Rogers. Their home opener scheduled for tonight in Miami against the Orioles has been canceled. They played in Philadelphia yesterday. The team did not leave Philadelphia last night. We will see where it all goes from here. Again, Jeff Passan just reporting this on our show in the last few moments. We had reaction from Jessica Mendoza. Let me bring my football crew back in here for reaction. Booger McFarland, Jeff Saturday, Diana Russini, I will start with you because, Diana, I know you've talked to so many people around the NFL about what their protocols are going to be. They just made agreements over the weekend on how they're going to handle all of this. I'm sure they're sitting back and watching this. They'll have the ability to learn from whatever it is that happens with baseball here. But what is your reaction as one who knows how football is going about trying to get this done to the idea that we're not even a week into the baseball season and here we are?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot. taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Yeah, head coaches and GMs are all at their facilities today. I've been trying to text some of them to just try to get an idea, and they are all writing back that they're watching the news here break as Jeff Passan's putting the word out about what's happening with the Marlins here. And Greeny, you asked me weeks ago about the idea of a bubble. And I told you that it was discussed for about a millisecond. It was something that the NFL did not want to do. They did not think it could work. There were too many teams and too much that would have to be part of this to make that work. So obviously now we're watching this with baseball, and the idea of them not being in a bubble could perhaps be the reason why the season doesn't continue. We obviously don't know that just yet. But Greeny, as you guys were talking about it, I just kept thinking baseball is probably the least physical sport in terms of contact. Football is the opposite. How are they going to be able to keep these players safe? And everyone I spoke to with the Players Association and even in the league have told me that they're going to be vigilant about the testing. That is why the players fought so hard for that daily testing. And I'm sure you've read tons of articles where there's been access all around the league allowing reporters to see what these facilities are like. Players saying that these are some of the cleanest they've ever seen. Patrick Mahomes says he was blown away with what Kansas City has done with their facility and how they're wearing their masks and how they have the meeting room set up, the locker room set up. So in terms of them being on location, it sounds like there's control here with the NFL. But again, with this virus, we just don't know.
And they're also not on location 24/7. The NBA, again, they're in a bubble. I can't sit here and tell anyone they should live their lives in a bubble, that they should have gone into it in Major League Baseball. It's their life to live. It's not mine. But the idea, because they're not in a facility 24 hours a day, you're going out to pick up food, you're going grocery shopping. These teams are getting on airplanes and flying places. So the idea that this should not come as a surprise to anyone that this has happened here this quickly, and I do not think it is overstating it to say that the entirety of the Major League Baseball season is precariously hanging in the balance, and we're not even a week into it if one Major League Baseball team has to shut it down for a significant period of time. Jeff, Saturday, what's your reaction?
Yeah, I'm with you, Greeny. There's no surprise here. I mean, and without being in a bubble, there's no way to stop something like this. I mean, you think about when you go back home and your kids, you know, we hadn't started schools, and will school start back, and all the different things that happen at homes with your spouse, the significant others, family members, all at your home. To your point, there's no way to keep everybody completely clean and antiseptic like you can at a facility, and they have done a fantastic job at facilities. But you know what, in the travel, the requirements, all those things, it's very difficult. I think the largest conversation will be, how do you manage this? How do you manage? How do the Marlins manage this? But how, as the NFL, now that you're seeing this happen with the Marlins, how do you manage? What kind of conversations are happening now if this were to happen on a football team? And you know, so from the NFL's perspective, the one thing I would say is having the week in between is a little bit different. You heard in the last segment talking about a guy or a team coming in and playing in the locker room that they just used yesterday. So I think some of those things will be scaled back. But there's no way to prevent this if you're not in a bubble, to your point. And so I think it's all about how can you respond to the situation and how do you make players feel comfortable about their health and safety and the health and safety of their families they're going back to. I can't stress that enough. The Miami Marlins, their concern not only is for themselves, it's when they go back home, back to their families, what are they bringing back? Very, very serious conversations are going to have to be had. Unfortunately, the Marlins are sparking this, but these are discussions that will have to take place.
Booger, I mean, athletes are athletes. And so try and put yourself, Jeff just referenced it. The Marlins played in Philadelphia yesterday. The Yankees are supposed to play there today. If you are a member of the New York Yankees, are you comfortable going into that clubhouse, showering there, dressing there, doing all of the things that you do when we know that the Marlins have had 14 people, 12 players and two coaches at minimum, to have tested positive so far?
Absolutely not, Greeny. And more importantly, not only the locker room, I'm not willing to get on the field with the Phillies knowing that they faced the Marlins for several games. I just think that for this situation to happen, you guys are right. We knew something like this was coming. What we don't know is how MLB is going to handle it. I think that's what's at stake right now. I think college football, I think NFL football, I think all the sports that are getting underway now or later in the fall are going to watch how Major League Baseball handles this. And Greeny, more importantly, these are professionals. I think college football is really paying very, very close, particularly to this decision. We've already had a couple of football teams. Michigan State and I believe Rutgers have quarantined their entire football team for 14 days. Now, that's easy to do in late July. Are you willing to do that in late August, early September, when the games start to happen? I think this is a pivotal moment for sports, particularly college football, when you're dealing with amateur athletes. I think everyone around the country is paying attention. How does Major League Baseball handle it? We knew, or we can say we knew it was coming. What we don't know is how Rob Manfred, how the Players Union, Tony Clark, how everyone going forward is going to handle this situation. I think that's what's at stake. The NFL can't play in a bubble. They said they don't want to do that. It's just logistically entirely too challenging. So the NFL is going to deal with similar things. But again, those are professionals. I think the amateur athletes in the NCAA are the ones that have to pay close attention to what MLB does.
It's well said here. Guys, thank you very much, all of you. I've got Jalen Rose and Bomani Jones standing by as well. I'll make this very brief comment before I bring you guys into the conversation. From the moment I came back up here to Bristol in mid-March when all of sports got shut down, I told you I'm going to be optimistic because it costs the same as being pessimistic, but that I will never be unrealistic. I'm never going to lie to you sitting up here. And so the reality of it is right now, this could not possibly have started worse. The idea that this has already gotten to a point where they had to cancel a minimum of one baseball game tonight, and maybe there will be more cancellations today, less than a week into the season. It was easy to foresee. And if they don't have a plan ready to go, I don't think it's overstating it to say everything hangs in the balance this quickly. So Jalen and Bomani, I'll come to you on that thought. Jalen, let me start with you. We see the NBA and the fact that they've gone into this bubble. And now we sit back and we say to ourselves, that might be the only realistic way to conduct a sports season during a pandemic.
This is the genius of the NBA. And this is why when we talk about the best commissioners in sports, Adam, first it was David Stern, now Adam Silver carries the torch. Look at all corporations in the United States of America. The only one that I know about in theory that's putting its employees in a bubble is the NBA. Now, for sports, what allows that really to work? 80% of the regular season was already played. So now you're not trying to chase those regular season checks. For baseball in the NFL, those seasons have not started. So not only can they not go into the bubble, they want to figure a way to play their season, get to a champion, and get their checks. So for the NBA, the timing worked out well. I don't see Major League Baseball, based on the reports that you guys have reported this morning, finding a way to get towards a World Series champion without multiple interruptions. The same thing can be said for the NFL.
Bomani, I'll give you the floor here. What are your thoughts?
I mean, they are trying their best because the money is so significant and the consequences are dire if they're not able to put a season together. And we knew that from the very beginning that this was going to be hard, but the NBA has a distinct advantage. There's only 15 players per team. It's a lot easier to put them into a bubble than it would be for the NFL. I don't know how big the wild world of sports would have to be if they tried to bubble that. And I think baseball's in a similar place. But once everybody decided, whoever they were, that they were going to be jumping on planes and people were going to be going back home, then somebody was going to catch it. That was inevitable. There's a reason. It's a pandemic. That's how pandemics work. There was no chance that nobody was going to catch it. And then once they wound up back with the team, this was something that we knew was entirely possible. What I can't glean from here is, did they have a set plan, an if-then plan for what happens? Because this was obviously foreseeable. And if they didn't have a clear idea of what they would do for an outbreak with the team, that's a great failure on the part of Major League Baseball.
It seems almost impossible to me that there isn't a plan. Again, Jeff Passan said there's nothing in the 113-page plan as to what you do when there is a significant outbreak. But as I said to him, and Bomani, I'll say it to you, none of this can be taking people by surprise. They have to have some idea of what they are doing. But the question is, would you expect, I hate to ask you to speculate about something this serious, but the Yankees are supposed to play in Philadelphia today. Bomani, does that game get played? Do they go into that clubhouse and they just go back on that field and play that same team? Can Major League Baseball do that today?
I will say this, the Major League Baseball Players Association of my youth wouldn't step foot in that clubhouse, right? From Marvin Miller to Don Fear all the way down, they would not put a toe into that clubhouse back then. I don't know how it goes right now, though, because of the stakes for everybody. But if I'm on the Yankees, nah, man, I'm not going in there. I look at all the places I don't go right now.
Jalen, what do you think? If you're an athlete. All athletes, you know, have a one similar mentality. You want to play. Your first and foremost desire is always to play. But these are circumstances unlike anything we've ever considered. We're not talking about a torn up knee or anything like that. What do you think? Do you think these players are going to want to continue?
I don't think so. It's risk versus reward. And baseball players get a chance to play the marathon game, not a sprint. They have the best union in professional sports. Their contracts are guaranteed. You can sign for unlimited years. They have the leverage of not operating like essential workers in this case, especially a story brand like the New York Yankees. So I absolutely anticipate you doing more breaking news stories about how players are going to respond to this as the day progresses.
All right, guys, thank you very much for this. Again, none of this is what we planned to talk to you guys about today, but of course, this is significant breaking news. At least one game has been canceled so far. I think I'm being told as I go to a break here that Mark Teixeira is going to join us coming up next with his reaction. We'll try and get Tex into the conversation and more. Again, the Marlins home game for tonight against the Orioles has been canceled because of an outbreak of the coronavirus in the Miami locker room. We continue in a moment. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, major breaking news in this hour from our Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers that 8 more players and 2 coaches for the Miami Marlins have tested positive for the coronavirus. That brings to a total of 14 the number of players from that or people from that organization in that clubhouse to have tested positive. They played in Philadelphia yesterday. They are still in Philadelphia. Their game at home tonight against Baltimore has been canceled. And that is all we know as of now. But obviously, this has major ramifications. I have full coverage of this here. And I start, as you can see, with Malika Andrews, who has been inside the bubble with the NBA for us from the beginning of that process. And Malika, I would just ask you, what is the reaction down there? What thoughts have gone through your mind as you've been living in the midst of this bubble environment for the last several weeks as you hear about this outbreak almost immediately in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at over the last couple of days in the NBA, you've seen Lou Williams with the Clippers go on a non-approved visit when he was away for an approved reason from the bubble and have to sequester himself, have to isolate himself for 10 days upon returning. You're also seeing Kristaps Porzingis. He missed a game after he missed just one test, even though he's been in the bubble the whole time, even though it's not likely that he contracted coronavirus, because so far this has been a clean sight. That is how seriously the NBA has been taking any potential exposure to coronavirus, because this is such a contagious disease. And that is why they decided that things had to be in a bubble, because of all of the complaints that NBA players have had about lodging, about food, about little bumps along the way, their health and safety protocols have been buttoned up to a T and have largely surprised actually a lot of general managers around here of how well it's been going. So when they look at this, when they are looking at what is going on in the MLB right now, they are thinking, this is why professional sports, they have such a higher chance of succeeding if they're played in a bubble the way the NBA has. And that's a testament to Adam Silver. And that is what you're hearing around campus this morning.
No question. It is a testament to everyone involved. It's a testament to the leadership at the NBA. It's a testament to the ownership for being willing to do it. It's a testament to the players for doing it and for the most part taking it as seriously as they have. Malika, that's outstanding. Thank you very much for your work there. And I know that you will get reaction all day long. I'm told I have Carl Ravitch ready to go here. And Ravi is one of our top baseball announcers, as you well know, and has been here at ESPN even longer than I have. And Ravi, one of the things I've always admired about you personally is your sort of level-headedness. So I'm asking you to bring a little bit of that to me here as I'm trying to gauge in my own mind the significance of this. Again, for those just joining us, that is now 14 members of the Marlins traveling party who have tested positive for coronavirus. They're still in Philadelphia. Their game in Miami has been scheduled, has been canceled. That was scheduled for tonight. The Yankees are supposed to play the Phillies in Philadelphia today. Will they be willing to go in there and play that game using that clubhouse and those facilities? How would you put into perspective how big a deal this is less than a week into the start of the season?
Well, I mean, level-headedness, I appreciate that, but this is nightmare scenario number one for Major League Baseball. You know, the original concept was the bubble concept in three different places, and those three states have exploded with coronavirus. The ripple effects of the outbreak here for Miami is massive, given where they just were, as Malika and others have mentioned, and now teams travel there. So the Yankees, and it was interesting, Greeny, Aaron Boone the other day said, with regards to positive tests, et cetera, we signed up for this. So there is part of that that goes into it, but the commissioner has, under the agreement, powers, if competitive integrity comes into play, which clearly it does here, to suspend or cancel the season. The Yankees have decided if they do go and play tonight and the games are still on, which I highly doubt, but if they are, they will bring their own crew to the clubhouse. They will disinfect hotel rooms. They'll do everything they can. But again, we're reminded with this outbreak just how difficult it is to conceivably contain it, especially when one or more members of your team get it. So this is nightmare scenario number one for Major League Baseball.
Okay, that's the way I viewed it as well. And Ravi, there's not any good that comes from saying, I told you so at this stage, but I do keep thinking about the first thing you just said, which was when the bubble conversation first came up, they decided against it for a variety of reasons. The fact that the places they were talking about are hotspots doesn't feel that relevant to me because the NBA is in Orlando and Florida falls in that category as well. And yet, if you manage to sequester everyone into this space, it doesn't seem to be impacting them. In retrospect, do you think that there is regret or that there should be regret for Major League Baseball deciding not to go into bubble situations?
Well, look, hindsight being 2020, I'm sure they wished that the bubble scenario would have worked out. I think there were other factors that went into it beyond just the logistical challenges of bringing 10 teams to each bubble. But we just saw in Toronto, and Canada is a great example. I mean, one of the reasons that Canada didn't want other teams traveling where you were going to be traveling from hotspots. And for instance, if a Miami Marlin team, which would have gone to Toronto as the AL and NL East play each other, that was a red flag for them. They put the brakes on that. So there are a variety of factors. I think that they're going to look back on it and you know, hope that none of these COVID cases are serious, God willing, that nothing significant happens to a particular player or any member that was exposed, that they tried. And this is going to be a blueprint moving forward. I mean, I assume your next conversation is the impact on football, the impact on college sports, and how this blueprint that they tried will affect those other sports. So I think that in the end, and again, no decision's been made by Major League Baseball with regards to the other games, as I yet know for tonight, but I find this to be one of those roadblocks that is going to be impossible to just move around. I think you have to press pause here.
I agree, and the idea that they're pressing pause, the season started Thursday, this is Monday morning.
Right.
I agree with your assessment of this, that this is the nightmare scenario number one. Give everyone a sense of what you'll be looking into. I am here. Yes, on Kirchen. I'm sorry, Ali. Will you say that again in my ear? Yes. Carl, thank you very much. I'm told I have Tim Kirchen standing by here. Timmy, I will just give you the floor. You've heard the story here again. The Marlins game at home tonight has been canceled. It feels as though a lot of things hang in the balance. Tim Kirchen, what is your reaction?
Well, this was the big concern, Greeny, from the start, is what if one team has 10 guys or 20 guys test positive? What do we do? Do we cancel their season? Do we take a pause in the season? Do we cancel the entire season? How much damage has already been done? And all I could say is we have to put the health and safety protocols first here. And I think baseball's done a good job of that. But yesterday was a gigantic red flag and an even bigger one today.
So, again, I don't want to put you in a position to speculate here, but let's just consider the notion that the Yankees are supposed to play in Philadelphia today. Again, that is where the Marlins were the road team yesterday. Very quickly, what is your expectation relative to that game and other games being played today?
Well, I would be worried if I were the Yankees going into Philadelphia. And the players that I've talked to are worried about that first road trip. They've had the safety of their bubble at their stadium. Now they're going somewhere else. That's where the concern lies.
No question. Timmy, thank you very much for jumping in here. Obviously, you'll be working this story all morning long, and the coverage will continue here on ESPN Next. First Take is coming up. Further reaction to this breaking news. Again, the Miami Marlins have 14 members of their team test positive. Their game for tonight has been canceled. Where does it go? The coverage continues here on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And that is all the time we have for Get Up, but the coverage continues in a moment. Again, Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers are reporting that 8 more players and 2 coaches with the Marlins have tested positive for the coronavirus. Their game tonight has been canceled. The season hangs in the balance. The coverage continues with First Take starting now. I'll see you tomorrow.